Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're taking a look at what to expect from Apple and Facebook earnings, with both those big tech companies set to report their quarterly financial results after the bell on Wednesday, October 30th. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, so back to it right away. Apple stock popped over 1.2% on Friday after reports surfaced that the U.S. and China are closer to finalizing portions of its Phase 1 trade deal. On top of that, we saw solid quarterly earnings results from the likes of Intel and others. Meanwhile, Amazon stock even bounced back on Friday after it posted posting an earnings drop after hours Thursday. And we should also note that the S&P 500 hit a new intraday trading high on Monday ahead of, as we've already talked about, what's going to be another busy week of earnings this week. So the index climbed 0.6% to 3,040.56. We don't need to get into those numbers. It surpassed its previous record from July 26th. That's all you really need to know. On top of that, investors in Wall Street now expect the Fed to cut interest rates for the third time since July, and they expect this to happen after its meetings conclude on Wednesday. And investors should also pay attention because the next U.S. job reports comes out on this Friday. So this is a big stepping stone for what the U.S. economy looks like at the moment. And as we already mentioned, there are continual hopes of the U.S. and China reaching a more substantial trade deal. So now, at this point, the S&P 500 is up 21% in 2019 and up 14% from the year-ago period at this point. And now I quickly want to do a little bit of a Q3 overview and what to expect from the S&P 500 to put Apple and Facebook's expectations into some context. So as of this past Friday, we had 199, or roughly 40% of the S&P 500, having reported their, in what we call their Q3 results here at Zacks. So this includes some early reports from companies like Nike. So overall, and this is based on last Friday's report from the director of research here at Zacks, who is also my boss, Shiraz Mian. So the market in general has liked the results. The median index member is up almost four times as much in response to its Q3 earnings reports relative to the preceding period, and this is as of Friday. So far, just over 78% of the companies have beat their earnings per share estimates, and 62% have beat revenue estimates, which is in line with historical trends over the last 12 quarters. And overall, so far out of these roughly 200 companies, earnings are down 0.3% and revenues are up 4.5%. And now looking at whole, and this is what's come to be expected based on some hard to compare periods with the 2018 tax cut mixed in there. So overall, Q3 earnings are expected to be down 3.3% from the same period last year on 4.1%. high revenue. So that's the basic picture of what to expect from the overall Q3 earnings season. And now I want to move on to the first company we're going to discuss, and that is Apple. So Apple shares have surged over 12% in the last month alone and hit a new high on Friday ahead of the iPhone giant's quarterly financial results, which, as we mentioned, are due out Wednesday, October 30th, after the bell. So as most of you know, Apple doesn't really need much of an introduction. Its innovative products really kind of started to kick off this current wave of high-end consumer technology. The company now boasts $1 trillion market cap once again alongside Microsoft, thanks to its ability in large part to cultivate its brand around the globe through its slick-looking devices and solid advertising. We should note that Apple is, at the moment, According to Forbes' latest list, Apple is the world's most valuable brand. This is ahead of Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Coca-Cola, Disney, others. So Apple is still number one in terms of that brand value around the globe. And Apple continues to roll out new iPhones, Macs, iPads, smartwatches, even though we should note that many tech aficionados and tech writers would argue that Apple hasn't really introduced a game-changing product in years. Nonetheless, though, Apple stock has continued to climb as consumers really seem happy enough to buy its latest devices that most people could say feature their kind of standard small upgrades on a yearly or six-month basis. We should note, though, however, that iPhone revenue has slipped recently, and the firm has taken a little bit of a hit in China amid the ongoing trade war, as consumers in the world's second largest economy opt for less expensive smartphone options, which there are many in China. And this is why CEO Tim Cook has, and this is not just this recent downturn, but over the last several years, Tim Cook has focused on expanding Apple's non-hardware business, which is its services unit, which we're going to dive into some of the estimates in a little bit. But Apple's services unit currently includes its App Store, Spotify Challenger, Apple Music. More recently, Apple introduced its new Apple Credit Card with the help of MasterCard and Goldman Sachs. They have a new Apple Arcade video game streaming service. And on top of that, Wall Street and investors won't really have to wait much longer to see what its Apple TV Plus, which is its streaming TV service, looks like, with that set to debut on November 1st. So aside from that, which we'll see what it looks like on November 1st, maybe the stock will jump or fall. I already read a quick little headline review, and I don't really read many reviews, but one of their first big shows seems to be getting panned on that new service, but we won't dive into that. We'll do that maybe next time once I see what the Apple TV service actually looks like. So I want to now jump into some more Apple fundamentals before we look at what to expect from its quarterly results. So as we mentioned, Apple stock is up big recently. It has now climbed over 55% in 2019. This easily outpaces Facebook's 43% comeback and the S&P 500's climb. And we can also see now that Apple is easily surpassed its pre-2018 sell-off highs after it hit a brand new high, 52-week high on Friday. And despite Apple's strong run, its valuation picture is just somewhat stretched. Apple is currently trading at 18.5 times forward 12-month Zacks consensus earnings estimates. This marks a premium compared to its two-year median, but it's still below its two-year high of nearly 20 times forward earnings over the stretch. Apple also currently pays a dividend of an annualized dividend of just over $3 per share. This is up roughly 6% from last year and up 22% on a two-year stack. So Apple is a solid dividend payer as well. And it's one of the only of the so-called FANGs, that pays a dividend. It currently has a yield of about 1.3%. And as many listeners might know, Apple continues to buy back shares with its billions of dollars of cash on hand. So now I want to take a look at what to expect from its Q4 results of 2019. So looking ahead, Apple's revenues are expected to slip roughly 0.3% from the year ago period. And this is based on our current Zacks consensus estimates. This projected decline doesn't look that bad, though, when we consider that Apple's sales were up 20% in the year-ago period. So just a small pullback from that big jump in Q4 2018. And we should note that sales have already fallen 5% in the second quarter of 2019 and 4.5% in Q1. Plus, looking ahead to Q1 of fiscal 2020, which is going to include that vital holiday shopping period, we should note that revenues are expected to jump over 2%, with fiscal 2020 expected to climb over 4.3%. So back to that growth phase is what our estimates are calling for next fiscal year after a bit of a slowdown based on just some hard to compare periods for Apple in 2018. And then meanwhile, Apple's adjusted Q4 earnings per share figure is projected to slip slightly 2.4%, with full year earnings expected to fall about 2% as well. But then, as some might guess, looking ahead to Q1 of 2020 and full year fiscal 2020, that bottom line is expected to jump back in a big way, with 8% growth expected in Q1 and then 12% growth above our current year estimates for 2020. And then more than just the top and bottom lines, investors in Wall Street will really be paying attention to what to expect from iPhone sales this quarter and its key services business. So we're going to use our key company metric estimates here at Zacks to help us figure out what to expect from those two key divisions. So for fourth quarter, iPhone sales are projected to slip around 13%, which would roughly match last quarter's 12% drop, but mark an improvement from Q2's 17% decline in iPhone sales. And like its overall Q4 estimates, Apple's quarterly iPhone revenue is coming up against a year ago period that saw its iPhone sales skyrocket roughly 30%. So a little bit of a pullback, or I guess you could, it's 13% more than a little bit of a pullback, but a pullback is not crazy when you consider how much sales were up in the fourth quarter of 2018. And now I want to look at its services business, which, as we mentioned, includes its App Store and Apple Music, and will soon include its new Apple TV Plus. So its services revenue is expected to hit $12.3 billion, which would mark a climb of 23% from the year-ago period. And investors should be pleased to note that this would easily top the year-ago period's 17% services expansion and crush last quarter's 13% services growth. So this would be, based on our projections, a really big quarter for services revenue, which would probably inspire some confidence on Wall Street. So that could be a big catalyst for investors in Apple stock after it reports, after the closing bell on Wednesday, October 30th. So make sure to pay attention, as I said, closely to that services business. And then if management has any updates for what to expect from Apple TV Plus, or they might just wait until that service's launch, which is actually launching on Friday, November 1st, which is going to be launched just ahead of Disney's new streaming service, which is also called Disney Plus. So aside from that, we should just make sure to look for iPhone revenue, sales in Greater China, services business, and then what they're projecting for the holiday sales period, which is Q1 2020 for Apple, and then any more updates for anything that people might be interested in farther down the line from CEO Tim Cook and other executives. So now we're going to move on to what to expect from Facebook. And we should also quickly mention before I move on totally to Facebook that watch out for any trade war updates. As we mentioned, there's some positivity that the U.S. and China are closer to reaching a trade deal of some sorts. But we should note that Tim Cook, who's Apple CEO, has remained in relatively constant contact with President Trump, and Apple's big products have remained tariff-free. And his plan is to continue to talk to Trump to make sure Apple's key products, including the iPhone, remain tariff-free. So also look out for any tariff-related updates on that earnings call. And now we're going to move on to Facebook. And Facebook grabbed a lot of headlines last week, as the company has for much of the last several years, as CEO Mark Zuckerberg spoke in front of members of Congress, which is seemingly becoming a regular thing for Facebook CEO, which might not be a good thing for in the minds of some shareholders, but we're not going to dive too much into political controversy. But we should note that last Friday news also broke that Facebook is set to test out a new service to a test audience of roughly 200,000 users. Basically, the social media company will reportedly pay publishers licensing fees and then end up sending users who click on these articles to those companies' websites. This list of companies that Facebook is reportedly working with includes the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, the Washington Post, Fox News, NBC News, New York Times, other huge big name publishers. The list reportedly includes about 200 publications, though many won't actually receive these licensing fees. And this is based on Wall Street Journal reports from late last week. And then aside from that, we should note that Facebook is facing an ongoing antitrust investigation from the Federal Trade Commission and the Justice Department and state's attorneys generals. And obviously, they're not alone. Amazon is the target of a relatively new FTC probe into its market power. The House Judiciary Committee is also examining Apple, Facebook, Google as well. And this is part of the reason why these big tech companies have continued to spend a lot of money lobbying Washington. And this is also based on a new report from the Wall Street Journal that came out this morning that Facebook has increased its lobbying spending in Washington by 25% so far this year, up to about $12.3 million through the first 9 months. And meanwhile, Amazon's spending on lobbying is up 16%, Apple is up 8%, Microsoft is up 9%. And we should now note that Facebook is the number two lobbying or number two spender on lobbying of U.S. companies in Washington. That's just ahead of Northrop Grumman. And as I mentioned, Mark Zuckerberg has spent a lot of time in Washington recently. He's made three different trips to D.C. in the past 5 weeks. This included a policy-related speech at Georgetown University, a stop by the White House, and his recent, you could call it a testimony in front of members of Congress where they were talking about his new cryptocurrency plans and then also just other more political-leaning things that we're not going to get too much into today. And we should note that Facebook has already paid a historic $5 billion FTC fine earlier this year. But going forward, as we mentioned, these will be continuing things to watch for any Facebook investor in general. It's just these ongoing probes by the U.S. government and other foreign governments as well. And then on top of that, we should continue to look for updates on Zuckerberg and Facebook's plan to introduce its blockchain-based cryptocurrency. Regulators and lawmakers seem pretty worried about it. They really dug into him last week about this, but he seems, and this is based, he won't go through with it if, well, obviously he's not just going to circumvent the U.S. government if they say you can't do this, but Zuckerberg, despite all of the negative pushback and feedback from some members of Congress, seemed like he wants to move ahead with his plan to create this cryptocurrency, and we'll see what happens from there. But we should note that out of the group of nearly 30 companies that said they would work with Facebook when they initially launched this idea in June of this year, that one quarter of those members, including MasterCard, PayPal, and Visa, have already backed out. And this clearly seems like it's based on they don't want to deal with the political backlash that seems like it's, well, not seems like, that has already come with this plan from Facebook to jump in to cryptocurrency. So that was just a little bit of a quick overview of all the things that are going on with Facebook on the government side and its plans to jump into cryptocurrency and some more of relevant news at the time. And now I want to get into everything else, which is just going to be a quick overview of Facebook's basic business model and then what to expect from the company in Q3 of 2019. So Facebook at this point holds a market cap of over $535 billion. And this is thanks pretty much all to its ability to continue to attract users to its array of platforms, which now includes its namesake social media platform, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Messenger. We should also note that Facebook makes 99 or 98% of its money, depending on the quarter, from advertising. And Mark Zuckerberg's company remains really vital to advertisers and marketers around the world as consumers become harder and harder to reach in this Netflix era. And then even amid all the negative headlines and controversies that have been surrounding Facebook for the last several years since the 2016 election, that Facebook's daily and monthly active user totals continue to climb. They were up 8% in the first two quarters of the year. And its daily active users in the US and Canada, which account for roughly 50% of revenues, continue to show signs of strength after a little bit of some worrying signs relatively recently. And executives now project that more than 2.7 billion people use at least one of its, quote, family of services every month, which is just a staggering number. And as we mentioned, with its advertising business, Facebook is projected to grab about 22% of total U.S. digital advertising revenue this year, which would be up from last year and behind only Google. And this is according to eMarketer. And then, which seems only fitting, Facebook has also tried to expand its video streaming content to try to compete, maybe not on the same scale as Netflix or do what Apple and Disney are trying to do, but they're expanding their streaming business and, along with cryptocurrencies push out, they've already rolled out relatively successfully their new Facebook Marketplace, which competes alongside eBay and other online marketplaces. And we should note that, now moving on to some more fundamentals, Facebook stock is up about 6% in the last month, but is down about 4% over the last 6 months, and is now overall up about 43% in 2019. And it rests, unlike Apple, which is at a new high heading into its earnings, the stock is down about 10% from its 52-week highs, which could mean that they have plenty of room to run if they're able to impress investors on Wednesday. And we should also note that Facebook's valuation picture is pretty solid at the moment. It's trading at about 20 times forward 12-month earnings estimates, which is a discount against its industry's 27 times average and its own three-year median and three-year high. Basically, put differently, Facebook's valuation picture remains solid compared to where it has traded at and against many of its peers. And now I want to take a look at what to actually expect for this quarter. So for Facebook's Q3 revenues, they're expected to be up 26%, which would match Q1's expansion and come in just below Q2's sales growth. And then overall for fiscal 2019, sales are expected to climb 26%, and then they're expected to climb another 22% in that next year. And we should note, though, because these numbers don't really matter much if you don't have context, both this 26% growth this year and expected 22% growth next year would mark Facebook's slowest sales growth as a public firm and a big slowdown compared to the last several years specifically. So 2018, Facebook sales were up 37%. Facebook sales were up 47% in 2017 and 54% in 2016. So we're calling for a significant slowdown in 2019 and 2020, but Wall Street and traders have seen this slowdown coming and they're clearly at this point accepting it. And now they'll look to maybe more details from the company going forward and how it plans to grow and what businesses they plan to expand in. And then at the bottom end of the income statement, Facebook's adjusted Q3 earnings are projected to climb about 8%, though its overall full year earnings per share figure is expected to fall about 16% as it spends more money than it ever has as a public company. But then looking ahead to 2020, as some might expect with the spending really heavy this year, that 2020, we're expecting their bottom line to soar about 50% above our 2019 projections as they head heavily in the right direction on that bottom line. And then more importantly, maybe than its top and bottom lines, Wall Street investors will be looking closely at its user growth figures, especially in the US and Canada, which, as we mentioned, account for about 50% of their revenues. So once again, we're going to use our key company metrics and look at what to expect from some of those user growth figures. So for its monthly active users, which are MAUs, are expected to climb roughly 8% to 2.44 for $6 billion, so about $2.45 billion, which would match the first two quarters of 2019 so far. So continuing of that strong user growth, and then its daily active users are also projected to jump 8%. So if those figures hit, we would see Facebook's monthly and daily active users climb 8% in the first three quarters of the year, which would mark the continuation of solid growth for a company that seems to only have negative headlines, and it really doesn't seem like users are leaving Facebook. And if they are, they're leaving Facebook to go to Instagram, and the joke's on everyone who's mad at Facebook because Facebook owns Instagram, as some people, I guess, at this point might not know. And then in terms of both daily and monthly active users in the US and Canada, those are both projected to pop slightly from the year ago period, which is another good sign for Facebook investors, as those are their two most important regions for revenue generation, especially. And then as a reminder, Facebook is set to report its Q3 2019 financial results after the closing bell on October 30th. And we should note that both Facebook and Apple stock were up slightly through mid-morning trading. And you should make sure to come back to Zach's for a full breakdown of both Facebook and Apple's actual results after the bell on Wednesday, and then more details on Thursday. And maybe we'll follow up at some point in the next couple weeks on this show with what to expect from Apple's new streaming service, and then any updates that are noteworthy from Facebook. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.